The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding land. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And then Jesus began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Very true. So I have a question for you. Any of you ever played with a Lego before? Okay, so I have a Lego here for one of you to play with for a moment. Who would like to hold on to the Lego? Awesome, here you go. What's wrong?
It doesn't have a head.
It doesn't have a head? Oh, I'm sorry, here, can I have it back? Awesome, okay, we'll fix that. Who here wanted to have the Lego? Okay, we'll give that back to you. There you go. What is wrong? It does not have feet. I'm sorry. Let's try that again. Okay. We're going to get this straight. No problem. Okay. Here you go.
It doesn't have the arms.
Doesn't have the arms. You're very picky this morning. I know we've just met, but here, let's try this again. You have a shark. You have a Lego shark. That's hilarious. We have props for days. I love it. So, okay, let's try this again. Okay. Does that look better?
Yes, it has its arms, legs.
He's got everything going on. Admittedly, this one is bald, but hey, that happens too. So, I have a question for you, or actually I have more of a thing for you. I don't know if you heard in the reading today, but Paul talked to us today about the idea of the body of Christ. Have you heard grown-ups talk about that before? But Paul talks to us today, you have so many Legos. This is awesome. Dude, I could have used you the first service. Give me a high five right now. Don't leave me hanging. Thank you. So it's a pterodactyl. Is it great? Or is that a pteranodon? I get confused sometimes. It's got the little back thing. I think you're right. It's a pteranodon. Yeah. Anyway, so I remember that from Dinosaur Train. It's a TV show. Someone's realized what do kids love, trains, dinosaurs, let's put them together. Anywho, you thought I was distractible at the first service. I don't know, these kids are like, what did we come up here for? So, Paul today talked to us about the idea of the body of Christ, the idea that all of us together, with all of our gifts and our talents and our interests, the things we're excited about, the things that we're interested in, the things we're good at, the things we struggle with, all of that together can be used together to do the ministry of God, that we as a group are stronger than we are as individuals, and that we need each other to be Christ in this world. Does that kind of make sense to you? I used some big, you know, a little bit of pastor talk there for a moment. It's kind of like this Lego character here, okay? Lego character who's just legs. Nice catch. Lego character with just legs. It's okay. You can walk around with it. There's not so much you can do. Lego character with just a head. You know, that's interesting. It's so much. Lego character that's just arms. You get two pieces, technically four. Those can break apart. Also useful in its own way, but not as much as with the rest of the group. You did bring your own, so I'll keep the body. But all of this stuff together, if we put all of our pieces together, can I have them back? If we put all of these little pieces back together, we are capable of more than any of us are on our own. You understand me? Give me the nod. The nod you give to the parents when they talk, and you're like, please stop talking, parents. Awesome. No, I get it. I totally get it. But see, if we put all of our pieces together, and then if we borrow your awesome pteranodon, we can go from having random pieces that make no sense into not only super little Lego dude, but super little Lego dude riding a dinosaur. Believe it or not, that's what the body of Christ is like. Let's share a prayer together. Can you pray with me? Holy God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for the gifts we have and the way that we can use them together for your glory. We pray this in your name, and we say, Amen. Thank you all for coming up. Don't you love it when guest pastors come in and you find yourself going, wow, I'm so glad we called those two. I get a lot of that. I'm going to borrow your music stand. I learned at the first service that I was going to walk forward toward you all, so I'm just going to put this forward for when that inevitably happens. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As was mentioned earlier, my name is Chris Odie, and I am the pastor of the Living Stones Prison Congregation, which operates inside the walls of the Washington Correction Center up in Shelton. My hunch is that at least a few of you have either heard of that or been there. Could you humor me and, oh, that's fantastic. That's great. Thank you for that. Living Stones, for those of you who don't know, is a ministry of the Lutheran churches in this part of the state. It is a ministry that takes place, like I say, inside the prison itself. A core piece to it is on Saturday nights, the men gathered together for worship, and we bring in folk from the outside to worship alongside and with the men. The men are responsible for the music, they distribute communion, we sing, we pray. It is simultaneously moving and remarkably, if you'll pardon me putting it this way, normal. I think that is one of the most powerful things for some people when they get in, is to be just so tangibly reminded of the ways in which we are all united in Christ, regardless of our circumstances. This congregation has been very supportive to Living Stones over the years. You're currently operating as what's called our fiscal agent, which means you're the ones who are making sure that, like, we pay our bills. As one of the bills, thank you. Just going to be honest, it might as well own it. But additionally, you've been very supportive with your prayer, with your volunteer time. You've been supportive financially as a congregation and as individuals. I brought along some hard copies of our newest newsletter. They're out on the table as you leave. Please take them away from me. I want to have to go print more. I would love to leave here without any of these. This is our newest one, the winter edition. I did include the little envelopes because I have to do that. No, I get to do that. I don't have to do that. But you can also sign up for our newsletter electronically at livingstonesprisoncongregation.com. Let's try that again. I speak for a living. livingstonesprisoncongregation.com. And it would be an honor for just to have any of you come along. This congregation's next trip out to Living Stones will be on the 23rd. I know that there's also the concert happening that afternoon. It's later on in the day. So honestly, I think you could double dip and do both if you wanted. So there will be some sort of sign up for that. But that is happening on February 23rd. And again, please make these go away so that I have to print out more. It would just make my day in ways you cannot begin to understand. So we're going to come back to the gospel in just a moment. I promise. You're going to think I'm just going to talk to you about Living Stones, but I'm not. It's all going to fit together. We're going to come back to God's word. Well, it's all connected, so. So I mentioned that I'm the relatively new pastor out there, and that is because I only started serving at Living Stones last summer. And it is partially Pastor Eric's fault that I'm there. So thank you. I was contacted last year by a friend who works in the Synod office, my friend Melanie, who reached out to say to me that the position at Living Stones was open, and she was hoping that we could talk about it. And I will confess to you that my first thought when she said this was, that's not going to happen. I don't do prison ministry. That's not my thing. But then I thought for a moment, very hard. And it occurred to me that it had been a good 7 years since Melanie and I had really gotten to sit down and catch up, because I've been serving up north of Seattle. So we haven't seen each other much. And I thought, you know, I bet if I go down to Tacoma, I could catch up with my friend. And you know what? She's going to buy me a latte. She totally will. And for those of you who observed me in between services, I am highly motivated by coffee. So I went down and I listened to Melanie's pitch, thinking the whole time, well, this is never going to happen. I'm not going to accept this call. And so naturally, by the end of the conversation, I was agreeing to meet the call committee, including this guy. So I went out there again, thinking to myself, well, it's okay. I mean, it's good practice, and it's good practice for them. It's never going to happen, but you know what? It's okay. It's not a waste of time. We'll go out there. It's okay. So I went, and we did the interview. And the funny thing was, I was very candid during this interview, because the whole time I was thinking to myself, well, it's not going to be me who takes this call, so I'll just give them my observations on what I've seen in the paperwork and thoughts like that. I can be as opinionated as I want, because there's no repercussions. In fact, I remember distinctly at one point, and I don't know if you realize this, Eric, but he had emailed me asking for my mileage for going to the interview. And I thought to myself, no, if I let you pay me my mileage, I'll feel like I owe you something. This is a donation to the ministry. I see what you're on to. And so, of course, by the end of the interview, I was agreeing to go meet the men and worship inside the prison with them, which was not where things were supposed to go. And so I did. I went, and I worshiped with them. And quite candidly, it changed my life. I had been serving the church that I was called to in a little suburb north of Seattle for about 7 years. And it was a hard call. I had been called into a redevelopment situation, a congregation that had gone from 300 people on a Sunday in about 2002 down to about 50 in 2009. No, 10. And to be really candid with those of you who think such things, it had nothing to do with the church-wide vote. It had nothing to do with anyone being creepy. It was just a bad fit and a situation that evolved the way it did. So when I was called in, it was basically to try and help this congregation figure out, now what? Is there any point to this place? Is there any purpose for this place? What does this place's future look like, if anything? And it was a hard, hard situation. We got down at one point where we literally had in the bank $2.93. Thank you for that reaction. I'm not going to lie to you, that was scary. And when I say $2.93, I should emphasize we had no endowment, we had no savings. That's what we had. Now that I say it out loud again, I'm like, how did I not have more stress eating at that time? It's kind of funny, anyway. I think I just couldn't, actually, was the problem. Oh, stress. But over time as a congregation, we engaged in some very hard conversations and a very deliberate process that we went through. A conversation and a process which led to the decision in 2015 to sell off our building that we'd had for 75 years. Then to reinvest those funds in a storefront about a quarter mile away in a up-and-coming urban village area. It's very close to where the light rail is coming into in Seattle and in Shoreline and the other surrounding areas. And this congregation went from basically having no future to a future that they did not expect, much as I did not expect anything to come from meeting with the call committee, etc., and to having a new hope. But candidly, that process burnt me out. I'm not saying this to like make you feel sorry for me or anything, but it was exhausting. It was emotionally and physically exhausting. I was logging literally 100-hour weeks repeatedly. It was, in hindsight, ridiculous. And so when the call came, literally, to talk to the folks at Living Stones, I wasn't just thinking to myself, well, I don't belong in prison ministry. I was wondering if I belonged in ministry at all at that point. But then I walked in those doors and I met those men and everything changed. There is this song that they sing that just, it borderline moves me to tears. It goes, all I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. I've gone on YouTube and I have watched megachurches try to sing that song. I have listened to the original recording. And none of those hold anything to listening to those guys sing those words inside. It is a very powerful, moving experience. And if I haven't made it clear by now, I encourage any of you who have considered and have not gone before to really consider and go. Because I think you will really be amazed at what it feels like. And I promise you it means the world to the men. It is something they talk about repeatedly. How much it means to them when visitors come in from the outside. For some of these guys, that is the only visit they are going to get, is who shows up for that service during the week. And it means so much to them. The thing that really blew me away was to realize that in some ways, apparently that's where I belonged. I belonged in that congregation. I belonged there with those men. At this point in my life, in the evolution of that congregation, that is where I belong. And the great thing about that is that when you find that sort of belonging, when you find that sort of space where your gifts and the world's need come together, that is a feeling unlike anything else. That is a special feeling. That is a powerful feeling. That is a feeling of the presence of God. Now, I was looking at your bulletin earlier. Y'all look at the back of that thing? What's on the back of your bulletin right now? Your garden, right? What's that number there? Don't be embarrassed by it. What's that number? 12,713 pounds of food. People. That's a lot of food. That's more than a little bit. I am not a gardener. That is not my gift. When my life is over and people look back, I will not, as an individual, have raised 12,000 pounds of food. I'm quite aware of that. I might try to consume that much at some point, especially if I go back to my last call. But that is a gift. Who here is involved with the gardening program at all? Does it feel good?
Yeah.
It feels good. It feels good to use our gifts and our talents and our passions for the work of the Lord. How many people were just up here in that choir a moment ago?
32.
35. What is it? 30. Do I hear 36? 36 going once, going twice, going twice. 37. Sold the church down in Lacey. Anyway. That was an amazing group. And if you stop and are honest with yourselves, that's a huge group. I've been in many, many congregations in my life, especially over the last 6 or 7 months where I get to do this every week somewhere else. That is by far the largest choir I've run into. That is not the largest congregation I've run into. You all have gifts. You have talents and you are using them. That's the beauty of it. It's not just that you have them, it's that you're using them. There's that whole thing in the gospel about don't hide your light under a bushel. You're not. You're literally singing it out into the world. There's this group that's going to Tanzania. I got that right, right? I want to make sure. Northwest Washington, they do stuff in Ethiopia, so I got a little confused when I came back here and saw Tanzania. At least a few of it. Who all is going out there right now? That's right, because you were talking and yeah. Does it feel good? It does. There is nothing like the feeling that comes from using our gifts, our talents, our passions, our interests, our hobbies, our whatever, for the glory of God. Finding ways to use those things creatively. That's a huge piece of what it means to be the body of Christ, by the way. Helping people to identify those gifts and use them. Helping people to find ways to use the things that they are passionate about for God's glory. When I did my internship out in small town in rural Ohio. Sorry, I need a moment. It's a good experience, just I need a moment. Good. Some of the folks out there were passionate about Harley Davidson. Not my thing, but it was their thing. So you know what they did? They put together a Harley club. Actually, it was Hondas and Harleys because some of them were into the little like motor. Obviously, I don't ride. Did you see how I tried to do my version of riding a motorcycle? Not good posture for a Honda. That'd be more like this. Anyway, they would go around and they would drive as a group. They would do outreach. They had created this entire ministry around their love of riding motorcycles. That is not something that I have as a gift. But that community, that group of folk, they found a way to use that. The congregations that I served out there, they would do a harvest festival every fall, inviting in the farmers from the neighborhood, from the region, from the area, to come together to thank them for their work. To bless the harvest. To bless the tractors, the combines. Now, doing that, say, in the middle of, you know, Olympia or Lacey or something may not make quite as much sense. But you have found ways to use your gifts here. One of the things that made me happiest when I was getting ready to leave Bethel, the call that I served before Living Stones, a group of folks there realized that there was this need in the community because the school district was switching to doing half days on Wednesdays. There was this need for after-school care for kids. And so they put together an after-school lunch program and tutoring program. And these folks who were quite convinced that they did not have anything to offer. Oh, well, we don't have any kids here, Pastor. You know, we just can't. Apparently, that's my impression of the former congregation. Please don't tell them that. You record your message. Oh, no. All those thoughts just went through my head. Yeah, we'll edit that one. No, this one's way better than the first one. Sorry, that was obnoxious. They found a way to take gifts and passions that they had, this love for cooking, this food ministry, and to use it in a new and creative way. They used their space, their location, and they are helping dozens of kids who otherwise would have nowhere else to be. And I'm pretty sure if I went back and asked them, does this feel good? The nods you're giving me, tell me that you know what the answer to that would be. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." That is what hearing looks like. It isn't just passively accepting it. It is bringing it in and incorporating it into you. It is using it in your life and in your ministry. When we truly hear the word of God, that is when we use God's gifts for God's glory with and among God's people. Let us pray. Most holy, good, and gracious God, we thank you this day and always for the chance to worship you freely and safely. We give you thanks for the passions of your people, their gifts, their talents, their interests. And we ask you this day to continue to bless this congregation, to embolden it to use its gifts, to walk in your light, and follow you faithfully. We pray these things trusting in your holy, good, and gracious name. Amen.